And I've entitled this message this morning, The Final Report on Selflessness. In Psalm 22, we'll read the first 21 verses of this passage of Scripture. This is a very sobering passage of Scripture. It is an account, is a messianic psalm, meaning it is of a prophecy of the Messiah that would come. It is of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he hang there on the cross. And we get to look at something of him who is completely selfless. There is no selfishness in any aspect of who Jesus is on this cross. In Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded, but I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord, and he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. This morning, as we think about Jesus Christ and the words here upon the cross, the reason we can gather together as a church and sing together is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This study here and this message comes from one of my several of my devotions here a couple months back as I was there in Psalm 22. It was something that struck me about the lack, the complete emptiness of self. As we look at his final moments before his death, we see his love and compassion was not an excuse for bitterness and angry vitriol, but rather his continued care and patience. The Lord Jesus bore the incredible beatings, whippings, and piercing nerve signals throughout his body, and he demonstrates absolute selflessness. We are a culture of seething, selfish people. Everything in the commercials and stores is aimed at pleasing you and making sure things are just the way you want them. If things go awry and things don't go the way you want them, then many people display great anger, frustration, social media blasting, or other public libel. Why? Because you didn't get your way. But Christ demonstrates for us this morning on how to respond to pain here in the Scriptures, whether emotional, physical, or even spiritual, and act in love rather than selfish hurt. He set the example for dealing with the evil of this world. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. His suffering for us as believers shows us that we have a choice in how we handle the pain in our life. You can be selfish through becoming angry, bitter, hopeless, disconsolate, or you can choose to model Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Do we deal with pain in our own power? Or do I think upon Christ's great sacrifice and place our faith in him? Do I yield my struggles to the Lord? Do I stew in the wrongs against me? Do I plot revenge to those who have wronged me? Today we're going to be looking at an intimate portrait of the emotional struggles of Jesus Christ on this cross and how he dealt with them. As we listen, as you listen, I would encourage you to think about your life. Think about the things that you've endured or are enduring and ask yourself, are my reactions displaying that I am a follower of Christ or am I a self-absorbed individual? You see, Christ's actions demonstrate the eternal love for every person without which no person could be redeemed from the awful fate of hell. So the principle this morning is stop giving excuses for your awful reactions in life and start looking to Jesus for salvation and comfort to the pains of your world. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessings upon this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. Father, I thank You. Father, as I read this passage and I reflect upon all that You suffer, Lord, how unworthy I am, how unworthy all of us are. Father, first of all, I pray for the individual this morning that is not saved. Lord, maybe they haven't thought about eternity. Maybe they haven't thought about death, where they're going to spend eternity when this life is over. Father, I pray that through Your sacrifice, as we discuss it this day, that, Lord, people would be drawn, those who are lost would be drawn to You and call out to You for salvation. Father, for those of us as believers, as we think about the final test of selflessness, that, Lord, we would consider our own lives. God, I pray that You'd show us the selfishness in our own lives. And, Father, that we would be drawn to Thee. And so, Lord, I commit this time to You. I ask You, Lord, that every word that I speak, Lord, would be an encouragement, that it would be from You and not myself. Lord, I pray You guide my thoughts, my lips, the tone of voice, and Lord, may all of this and this time, Lord, may it be to Your honor and Your glory. I love You, Jesus. Thank You for Your sacrifice on my behalf, one so unworthy. And so we yield today to Thee. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. As you think about here in Psalm 22, in the first point, the lonely road of isolation, verse 1, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You find that very similar sentiments. The memorable cries for help and the agony of isolation and anguish rang from the lips of Him who was innocent of all charges, condemned in the place of the guilty. He was all alone and in pain and agony beyond compare. Mercilessly beaten by the soldiers, beating Him while His eyes were covered. Look with me at Mark 15:15. I just want to have a short recount here. I want to bring this to your own, think about what would happen if this happened to my own body. Look with me at Mark 15:15. I have to say, as I came across this passage of Scripture and I was studying in my own personal devotions, it's like the Lord just smacked me upside the head and just began to work on my heart. Mark 15:15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged Him to be crucified. And then you read verse 20. And the soldiers led Him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed Him with purple and plated a crown of thorns, and put it about his head and began to salute Him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote Him on the head with a reed and did spit upon Him, and bowing their knees, worshipped Him. When they had mocked Him, they took off the purple from Him and put His own clothes on Him and led him out to crucify Him. One gentleman here, one of the commentators on this passage of Scripture, apparently before sending Him off to Pilate, Pilate had Him scourged on the spot. A Roman flagellum was an ordeal in itself. Typically, the victim was stripped to the waist or possibly altogether. He was then flogged with a Roman cat-nine whip, which had a number as many as 9 fingers with sharp objects embedded at each tip. The back of the man was literally flayed and stripped. As the executioner ripped the fingers of the whip down his back, if not careful, a man could be dispatched from such a scourging. It was a typical beginning of the crucifixion process, which is intended to be as cruel and drawn out as possible. End quotes. David Sorensen. So before they ever beat Him on the head with a stick, they flay His back. The normal person would have caved to anger. I hate you, Romans. I hate you, Jews. What have you done to me? Look at all the wrong. I'm naked here as you beat me and beat me on the head. You would hate and have such disdain and violent passions for those who treat you wrong. Some may have resorted to turning in defense of oneself to beat their executioners. No self here. Yet Christ knew all of this was to precede the cross. With all the pain and his friends and family gone, the loneliness sets in. He had been condemned to death in the place of a known criminal. His disciples leave him. His family's gone. His church has abandoned him, the first church there that he started. And even those a week before that had hailed him as King of the Jews were a week later. Can you resonate with the thought of a one-time friend turning their back on you in quick fashion and stabbing you in the back? Have you ever felt alone? Has a deafening silence of absence of another person caused a pain that drove you to the place of gut-wrenching pain? Has the abandonment or lack of human interaction created such a longing for companionship? Have you ever messed up and all of your friends and family abandoned you? Have you ever sat under the guilt of your actions, longing to be loved and accepted again? Have you ever had your closest friends and relatives leave you? And there in the quietness of your residence, you felt the crushing weight of being alone. And here in the very infamous words of the Lord Jesus Christ, of verse 1, his flesh is separated from the spirit, forsaken by God in the garden. He was forsaken by his closest friends and additionally forsaken by his family. To any person, to be forsaken by family is heart-wrenching. But to call out to the Father and be forsaken is beyond emotional comprehension. We like that phrase, I will never, you know, in Hebrews there, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We like that. That's a great reassurance to know that God's with us. I can't grasp the agony upon my soul should I know that God is not hearing me and listening to me. And yet Jesus' heart breaks as the weight of sin comes upon him, knowing full well this would lead him to be left all alone and far from help. And yet in his love, he bore my sins, no self found. We're making an inspection of Christ's selfishness. None here. In the excruciating agony, you roar forth the deepest despair. My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? And he took my sins and he took yours. He bore the complete curse of sin. No one to help him. His earthly companions only stood on in horror and fear of the ghastly sight that beckoned their eyes. In abject misery, he cries out twice for my God, only to hear the silence of eternity. The Father, far from helping him, in the words of his roaring on the crushing weight of the burden of sin upon such a feeble and tortured frame. Look with me at Matthew 27, 46. Verse 46 of Matthew 27. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus is bearing my sins upon his frame, upon his body. I'm guilty, you're guilty. My selfishness, your selfishness, put him there. His love put him on the cross. The forsaking of the Father was for my sins and yours. I caused the agony of Calvary upon the unblemished Lamb of God. The love of Christ, knowing the desertion and separation from the Father, compelled him to carry through with an act that would tear him at the very deepest part of his soul and tear his heart. Love drove him to the cross. Going back to Psalm 22, verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Oh, to hear his voice in the sweet presence. And you hear his voice. Cries to the Father falling upon deaf ears who assumed my sin and guilt and shame. And then look with me at verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Have you ever been at that place and you just thought, man, there is no one that cares, no one to help me. I'm all alone. There's no one to hold me up and encourage me. Trouble's near, and for you and I, our refuge is the Lord. And yet Christ here feels complete loneliness and rejection. The pain of being alone is without compare, the tremendous hurt and mental anguish. And he did this because he loved me. He loved you. I'd like you to look with me at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. We'll come back to Psalm 22, but I'd like you to look with me at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then verse 10. His pain is my reconciliation. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So his pain was my reconciliation. His isolation is my relationship to God. And he suffered an inexplicable bodily torture, his isolation. So not only does he have an excruciating pain, he has a loneliness. I don't know if it ever happened to you during the COVID period and some of the loneliness and isolation that ensued during that period of time, you know, the prolonged days at home or wherever, but I know for myself personally that isolation was, it felt like torture to be away from others, not in the fellowship of other believers, not in the socialization with other humans. I mean, I had my wife and stuff within the home, but there was an isolation that just began to really work trouble upon my mind. But I didn't have the bodily pain. I wasn't innocently condemned. But you want to know something, my friend? You never have to suffer the loneliness Christ suffered if you ask him to be your Savior. If you're there in Psalms, going back there, look with me at Psalm 37, 28. Psalm 37, 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. He says he forsaketh not his saints. It's kind of like Hebrews 13, 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're a saint, a saint is a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you never have the desertion of the Father. And though you may not realize it, he is listening and he hears your cries and pleas for help. But the last laugh of scorn, my second point here in Psalm 22, in verse 6, he says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. He had gone from the praises of men being hailed as Hosanna the week prior to full condemnation in 1 week. I am a reproach of men and despise of the people. He suffered the hatred of the very people he wanted to save. Have you ever tried to do something really nice for someone? And then they took your gift and they hurled insults or hurtful measures against you. You tried to do something in the genuineness of love in your heart, and it was returned to you with spite. You know what that is? It feels like a betrayal. It feels like a great hurt when you are in, you know, the genuineness of your heart, you're trying, and it's perceived in a wrong way. He's on this cross doing something that is completely selfless. And they still continue to hurl the insults. Look with me at verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, you're already deserted. You're already in pain. You're already there. Your head, you have a concussion because they beat you on the head with a reed. Your head is throbbing. Your body, as your skin is opened, there in the hot sun, as the sun dries upon the clots of the blood and your body, and the nerve pain seething throughout your body like needles all over the place. A pain beyond compare. And these people have the audacity to continue to ridicule him. Verse 8, he trusts on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They would call out and reproach him, insult him. They would insult him, take his own words and affections and throw them back in his face. They'd mock him about getting off that cross. The insults and the jeering were relentless even while he is under the shock of body due to the physical blows and lashings suffered. So Christ committed his sacrifice for a bunch of ungrateful, whining, sniveling, and malicious sinners. As you and me. I'd like you to look with me at just an account of this in Mark 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 29. Do you find any selfishness in Christ? I find none. Mark 15, verse 29. Mark 15, 29, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Remember he talked about taking the temple and taking it down in 3 days and building it back up, or having it come down and building it back up in 3 days. He was talking about his own body, as the scriptures attest. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he save others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. I mean, they said, he raised Lazarus, he can't get himself off the cross. Wow, he's not very powerful. You look at verse 12 of Psalm 22, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset round me. These bulls here are loud and obnoxious persons. They're all around him. The mighty ones in the crowds, as Sorensen states, in the crowd are here marked by the tearful eye of their victim. The priests, elders, scribes, Pharisees, rulers, and captains bellowed round the cross like wild cattle fed in the fat and solitary pastures of Bashan, full of strength and fury. They stamped and foamed around the innocent one and longed to gore him to death with their cruelties. Conceive of the Lord Jesus as a helpless, unarmed, naked man cast in the midst of a herd of infuriated wild bulls. They were brutal as bulls, many and strong, and the rejected one was all alone and bound naked to the tree. His position throws great force into the earnest entreaty, be not far from me. My God, my God. They had a cruel and awful rejection of him. They seethed upon him with their mouths. Have you ever had some people that are so crazy mad? A mob of crazy mad people all around you, just foaming at the mouth in absolute anger and joy at the pain you're suffering. And you think, how could anyone be so evil? And yet he stayed on that cross. Do I find any selfishness? Nope. Verse 13 of Psalm 22, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. They mocked till his last breath. And as I read earlier in Matthew 27, they mocked him as he's saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And as he's yelling, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, he's calling for Elijah. Till his last breath, they're making fun of him. Can you imagine going to the hospital, someone in palliative care, with just an hour or so left of their life, and you are making fun of them in the hospital and yelling and complaining and griping? Can you imagine doing that? Let's go to the hospital and do that. That is beyond, you're just like, how heartless could you be? Yet here he is. What if it was your mom or your dad they were doing it to? What if it was a spouse or a child they were doing that to? Would it not bother you? What would have your response been to the actions of others towards you as your head is pounding? You have a concussion. I don't know if you've ever had a concussion. But it creates some dizziness. It creates some distortion. I remember when I had it, I'd come to church, I'd try to sing, and it was just like I wanted to throw up. And mine wasn't that bad. Several of you have had some that are worse, and you're there, and they're mocking you. Every fiber of your being is being assassinated. What would your words have been? God, I call down fire. Burn them up, Lord. Burn them up. That would be our response. Look with me at Luke 23:34, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't serious about going to the hospital, but I just wanted to get in your mind, what if we did that? Or there in your home, someone dying with their last breaths, and people are just mocking them. That would hurt. That would hurt a lot. But here in Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, just moments before he dies, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is just not long before he passes away. These are some of the last words that came out of his mouth. How could he say that? There was no selfishness in him. You want to know why? Because he's not focused upon the here and now. He's not focused upon the pain he's suffering. He has eternity in focus. Heaven, your eternity, my eternity is in focus. It's not the pain of the moment. You know what it is when we're selfish? The pain of the moment is all that matters to me. The pain of the moment of what I've gone through is the only thing that matters. And I see all my world through that pain, but I don't see through eternity. His words speak of forgiveness, not bitterness. Point number three, the long trial of selflessness, verse 14. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melted in the midst of my bowels. All of his bones out of joint. If you've ever had a bone out of joint, it's painful. Now all your bones are out of joint. Your heart is like wax melted in the midst. You're lonely. Your body, as I said, your back is flayed. You're now against that rough timber. And every time you move, splinters, and it's pushing against all the pain in your back, all of that, your skin that's been cut open, lashed all over. The sun is beating down on you, clotting your blood as it pours down your body. It's clotting and there as you move your body just to try to breathe. Nerves send horrible signals of pain throughout your body. His mind is racked with pain, capable of calling down angels of fire, and yet his will was for my redemption. I'd like you to look with me in the next act, the last test of his selflessness, John 19:25-27. Another thing he does on this cross. You know what, when we get sick or we get pained, we expect other people to show us some pity and compassion. Or at least we have some desire for it. You know, if you sprain your ankle or you break a leg or you put your, you know, get a concussion or something, you expect other people to treat you well. John 19:25. He's on the cross, concussion, seething pain, bones out of joint. Verse 25 of John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by him, whom he loved, which is the apostle John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Concussion, pain, agony, loneliness, isolation, sin. And he has the audacity, he has the mental wherewithal to be concerned about his mother. Where is the selfishness there? There's none. Not only is that, does that stop there, look with me at the next passage showing him on the cross. Sometimes we think, oh, Jesus said this to his mother. Put yourself in the what he's just endured, the torture, the loneliness, the isolation, the concussion, the body, the racking pain throughout your body, bones out of joint. You know what most of us would be there? You would be so seething mad with anger. I'm going to get revenge. You're going to spend eternity in hell. Luke 23:41. I began to think about these words and I said, Lord, man, I'm a selfish person. I sure think about myself a lot. Luke 23:40. But the other answering, this is the two malefactors, the two thieves. The other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So one thief is, you know, condemning him. The other thief is saying, hey, he's innocent. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He's just moments, just minutes, few minutes away from his last breath. And the very thieves that have been making fun of him, the thief finally comes to his senses, realizes Jesus is who he said he is. He's innocent with the last few breaths. Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what? When you're in a lot of pain, sometimes we're like, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I'm not going to deal with this. But Jesus, in the pain and the agony of everything he's enduring, he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. How does he do that with the last breath? There's no selfishness in him. Pain produces in many people anger. But in Christ, it produced a love for his neighbor even moments before his last breath. As he's in physical shock from the trauma imposed upon him in the beatings and whipping, as well as the agony from the nails piercing his body, he struggles to breathe, and every breath is accompanied with a surging nerve pain as he tries, every time he pushes up with his nails, pierced feet, and his hands. And he struggles to get up enough breath. Today, shalt thou be with me. Paradise. As I said, piercing nerve pain all over his body, the concussion, his head throbbing. That's the selflessness to admit one last man before he breathes his last, before he dies. And yet in his pain, both soul and body, he has a mental acuity to spend some of his last breath to give hope to one who is also soon to perish. He's a gnarled mess of nerve shooting pain to every part of his body, riddled with a headache, concussion, incessant blows of the soldiers, and the noise of the masses hurling. So again, you have the people just yelling and screaming at you, and you want to throw up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's a love of selflessness. It's not just a Sunday school nice little quip saying. In verse 15 of Psalm 22, going back there. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me to the dust of death. He's thirsty. Body in shock, agonizing thirst, great clamminess would torment his mouth. Very difficult to speak, pain all throughout his body, nerves surging with needle-like incessant pain, ridiculed, libeled, lonely, agonized, in pain. But the agony of this situation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. This is written hundreds and hundreds of years before crucifixion's ever known. The haters of God called for justice. They call for the pain of the one who offended them. But don't they think of the pain they put upon him whom they've offended? Don't I think about the pain I put upon him? Those who hated Christ called for greater pain and greater torture. You know what, in selfishness, what we want others to do? I want you to suffer. I want you to feel the pain that I've had to feel. And yet he has, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Love kept him there. No self. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. All of his bones, you can tell his bones. They're so emaciated, bruised, dehydrated. The bystanders look and stare upon him. He lay exposed, demeaned, and belittled. Physically, emotionally, and sexually abused, and also spiritually. God wants to cover and forgive nakedness, whereas man seeks to flaunt before other mockers. Man's justice is revenge. Humanity's cry is they deserve to suffer. God's justice is initially reconciliation. I want you as my own. If God's mercy is rejected, then obviously someone faces eternity in the lake of fire. Man wants people, humanity, culture wants people to pay for the injury you've done to me. But that's not of the Lord. How a person deals with injustice will determine how they serve and benefit others. It is selfishness that demands justice. Now, if someone does wrong, I'm not crying out that we don't need a justice system and people don't need to suffer, you know, consequences in culture. But what I'm saying, at the end of the day, it is love that demands mercy. May the love of Christ change my reactions and my aspirations. You know what? As a Christian, we're called to be like Christ, void of self. And in his verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. If you've ever had something stolen from you, you kind of feel a defilement. Feels like someone's stolen something from me. My security has been violated. And yet here they are taking his clothes and they're gambling upon it. Any lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes? None here. Verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Again, heartbroken, alone, burdened, and sorrowing, and though he had all the strength to get off the cross, he stayed to fulfill the law. He stayed out of love, he stayed for mercy and grace, and he stayed to draw me to himself. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, and my darling from the power of the dog. And perhaps this is David crying out, but he prays for his soul to be delivered. You know, cherishes his soul as my darling. The Lord Jesus had the wicked Jewish leaders gnawing upon him and coming upon him great hurt, racked with pain. But God's love kept him on the cross. And then verse 21, before we come to the conclusion this morning. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. You know how hard and awful. You know, he was in the past, he was saved from great enemies full of power like the unicorns. And though Satan worked to bring Christ to death, his thirst for blood was the very move which resulted in his undoing, which was the very victory over Satan. Maybe even a cry for, please let me die. Let this be over. If you read this passage of Scripture, where do you find any selfishness? Is there an ounce? Is there a nanogram of selfishness? There's none. In the lesson on self and conclusion, and Christian, in the historical setting of the scene and the horrors and the gruesomeness of the persecution, ought to give us a renewed vigor to be like Christ. Think about your own selfishness in your own life. Think about the things that you and I suffer. In a comparison of the level of brutality, and I want to ask you some questions here, just some thought-provoking questions. Does this instill in you a love for the Lord and a request for Him to take from you your selfish ways? How about something like this? Lord, please forgive me for my selfish ways, and I forgive those who have wronged me. I need you, my Father. I hate my selfishness. Lord, please change me and guide me to be more like Thee. I yield today to You. I love You. You see, physical pain is not enough to justify anger and selfishness. There is no justification. And this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ, your eternity was secured by the standard of selflessness out of a love for you. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, Isaiah 53:7-8. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. The horrors of hell were upon the mind of Him who bore your sorrow and pain. He could not stand by watching the masses go to eternal death. He stepped in and He pursued you. Romans 5:6-9, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God committeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Jesus Christ, the Creator of all, is the one who loves you and is not selfish at all. The inspection is complete. You do a testimony. You look at His life. You look at His legacy. You look at the last days. Is there any selfishness? There's none. And so this morning, will you accept Jesus Christ as your perfect Savior for all of the wicked sins you've committed? Will you accept that You put Him on that cross? You put the pain upon Him. You deserve death and hell. And in simple faith, ask Him to forgive you and be your Savior. And if you do, my friend, you become a child of His. That whole thing, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, if you're a child of His, that is true. The final verse and the last question. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is before Jesus died. This is the early part of His ministry, John 1:29. He's taken my sins away and been my Savior. But has He taken your sins away? Do you know Him as your Savior this morning? And Christian, how does Christ's life, His death, and His selflessness affect your life? Are we living selfishly or selflessly? So we come to the time of invitation this morning. I've entitled this, The Final Report of Selflessness. There is no self found. It was all about the mission of drawing us to Himself. On that cross, in the final moments, my God, my God. He didn't get off, because if He got off that cross, I'd be condemned. No self. Christian, we live a lot of selfish lives. And this morning, I would encourage you, as you do business with the Lord, if I can have Miss Pat come forward in the time of invitation, please. I just really want to ask you, what part does being a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ, how does that affect your everyday life? Are you living selfishly? Does pain cause you to react in wrong ways? Does pain cause you to reject Jesus Christ and His sacrifice? If you've never accepted Jesus, there is an eternal damnation in the lake of fire if you do not accept Him. And I trust that you would this morning. Would you make Jesus your Savior this morning? And Christian, may we be selfless. As the music plays with heads bowed and eyes closed, Just give you a time before the Lord to really think about your life, your own selfishness, your life, your reactions. That we would really reconsider how we live our lives in light of the wonderful gift of Jesus. Savior, I'd love to speak with you after the service and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. My friend, Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. Not an ounce of self. It's all about you and all about me. I trust you, make him your Savior this day. Christian, would we be his followers? Through one more time. I trust that you just do business with God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for Lord, I'm thankful for your love. Lord, I'm thankful for your sacrifice. Father, I'm thankful for the model and the example you set. My Lord, how short we fall, how short we come to measure up. Lord, how much we think about the temporary and the temporal as opposed to the eternal. Father, I pray you'd work upon all of our hearts to help us not be selfish. I pray also for the individual that is trusting in their own merits, their own good works, that even now they would call upon you as their personal Savior. They'd repent of their sins and ask you to forgive them and be their Savior. Lord, I pray there's not one person here that would leave, and should they die, when they leave here, Father, that they would have any doubt where they're going to spend eternity, that they would know for sure that they're your child. Lord, we know that all of our lives is but a breath, and a moment it can be gone. And so, Father, I pray we'd settle that decision today for any who do not know you. And Lord, help us be your examples of a selflessness to a world so selfish. Thank you for what you've done and will do. Father, I pray for the food and the fellowship to follow, that you'd be glorified. I love you. In Jesus' precious name.